Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
To the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, I am your host, Godfather Nate Milton, and I am joined, as always, by my tag team partner, by my running mate, the distinguished gentleman from Southern California. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring him on in. Give it up for Marcus. When they go low, we go high. Vandenberg, what's going on, brother?
That's not me, clearly. But
Marcus is, when they go low, we go petty.
Yes.
How you been, man?
Speaking of petty, you know, I did KME's podcast, right?
Yes.
And
real power dynamic.
Yes, I gave our former co-host a special shout out on the podcast. So
I have to, because I started it, but you know, like, here's the thing I didn't know, because I did, like, KME had me on the week before, and then Marcus on the next week, and I didn't know that KME has this long preamble before he gets to the interview. So I started the episode, but I'm still like halfway through KME's thoughts on what's going on in the world. I haven't even gotten to Marcus yet.
The state of the black nation.
The state of the black nation, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, check out Real Power Dynamics with Chris from LA. It's a good show. Like, it's probably more angry than you want, you know. You can't listen to that show at breakfast. That's all I say, Marcus. Like, that's like a dinner show. Like, you got to hear that before you go to bed.
Yes. Yes.
Can't wake up first thing in the morning hearing all that angry all that angry talk from Chris, who is going to be, like, I feel like Chris is going to be super busy the next couple weeks with the Democratic convention and then the Republican convention in a few weeks as well. And so it's like, yeah, this is going to be peak angry Chris time if you follow this man on Twitter or any of his socials, because, like, he's already started, man. Like, night one of the Democratic convention, I wake up and there's like 10 posts from Chris about whether it was what Michelle Obama was saying, or, you know, how stupid the Republicans are and all this other stuff. And I'm just like this man just never sleeps on these political streets, Marcus.
Did you watch any of the convention last night?
I saw bits and pieces. Like, I saw the beginning, then I left, then I came back a little bit later, because I was flipping back and forth between the basketball and the convention, because nobody had time for Raw Underground. That was a distant third on my priority list last night. So I was going back and forth, sticking mostly on the basketball, though. But I saw the beginning. I saw the bit where, like, Joe Biden was sitting around with like these four or five black people. It looked like a Dave Chappelle skit. I saw Bernie for a little bit. I saw Michelle. Like, I had to stop and watch Michelle. And then I saw at the end where, like, they brought Billy Porter out to sing with the Marcus already know what I'm talking about. Like, Billy Porter, they brought him out to sing Stop Children, Look at what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah.
What's that sound? With my man from Crosby, Stills and Nash. And here's the thing, Marcus. Like, I understand that, you know, the Democratic Party is a big tent, Marcus. We got all types of people in the Democratic Party. And I'm sure, like, I've seen a couple episodes of Pose. And your man Billy Porter, like, he's real good on Pose. I just don't know if that was the song choice I would have gone with, because it didn't quite hit for me. No. And I think, like, the networks didn't even show it. Like, they cut it off after about 30 seconds, and they was like,
it's like
good.
They knew not to show it.
Yes. It's like, yeah, like that, like that, like they was doing a little too much with that. Like, they were being extra.
Yeah, it was, there was a lot going on in that clip.
Like, if I didn't know it was for, this Democratic convention, and I didn't know that it was serious, I would have thought it was a skit. Like the SNL or...
Yeah, it was just...
Yeah, because you know. He had the background, and then, of course, you know, he had the flamboyant outfit. I was like, I don't know if this is what we're going for, the tone.
Well, that was night one.
Yep, night one. I think Bruce Springsteen was there for like a half a second. Like they had a little kindergartner singing the national or saying the Pledge of Allegiance. So, yeah, like this whole convention, Marcus, I feel like because they are limited by not being in a real physical location, like they, you know, it's not like the conventions we've seen over the years, everything's virtual for the most part. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're going to try to get too cute with stuff and too creative and just like we don't need Billy Porter popping out of a cake, waving an American flag. Like, just let us know how you're going to beat Donald Trump, man. That's all I'm trying to hit.
Well, I want to see what the RNC does, because if you think this is too
have you
creative,
seen some of the prospective guest lists?
I just saw the St. Louis couple.
Yeah, the St. Louis couple. Like, their guest list, at least the guest list I've seen, like, it's not finalized, but, like, the people that they've been tossing around are, like, you know, your usual C-level celebrities like Scott Baio or your man MyPillow, the MyPillow guy. And then all of these people that have been caught over the past 6 months doing racist stuff on camera. Like what, are they just going to have, like, a racist meme night? Just, here's the St. Louis couple, or the lady that coughed on those people at the store.
Yes, man.
You know Dana White going to come back for another round this year.
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't think so?
I don't know. I mean, I know it's his boy and all, but, you know, he's still
You think
trying to
Dana's
run
smart
company.
Enough to read the room?
I would hope so. This year, maybe, like, you know what? We're having a good run here. People are actually watching the product. People are paying for our product. Let me hold on. Let me support from afar. Let me send this tweet instead of jumping on the Zoom.
You know who I didn't know was a Trump fan, and it surprised the hell out of me. But I guess in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have been surprised.
Who?
Your man Masvidal.
Oh yeah. I knew about that.
Cause like at first I was like, what the hell? And then it's like, oh, but you know, Cubans tend to be more conservative in Florida. Florida Cubans, or should say, tend to be more conservative. So, but it's like, because I heard him go on Lebatard, like the South Beach sessions, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down and he talked with Dan Lebatard for like 30, 40 minutes. And it's like, he sounds like somebody that, you know, Marcus, like they started reading a book. And they took all the information they needed out of the first four or five chapters, but then didn't finish the book.
Because
It's like, you can tell he's put thought into this and he's put time into this, but it's like, no, you're not getting it.
Yeah.
Cause he was like calling like the Black Lives Matter people. He's like, you know, he's like, bro, you know, I love black people, man. You know, Kimbo Slice, that's my brother, man. But you know, at the same time, you know, why are these thugs destroying the streets? And it's like, ah, you was close there, Jorge. You almost had it.
Man. You know, I'm kind of delighted. I mean, the only positive of the coronavirus would be it's cut down on so far the political rallies that we would be getting.
Yep.
You know, we had that one Trump rally that killed Herman Cain.
I was going to say the one that took Herman Cain out.
But he's still like tweeting enough. Herman Cain's going to show up at the RNC. He'll show up with the hologram.
I was going to say, they going to do like Tupac.
Yep.
Like those, like the people that run that Herman Cain account, man. It's like, come on, man. I know y'all got a job to do, but
where's this
really
family?
What we doing?
Where's his family to say, yo, stop. This is too much.
Right. Like, if you want to tweet something, like, tweet about all the stuff he did.
Yeah.
Like, that's a damn shame. What the, they're like, damn, brother, this, you gave your life up literally for this man, and this how they do you.
And it's like, all of the stories leading up to that debate, or to the rally, was, look, this is dangerous. This is what can happen. This isn't a good idea. And what happens? He literally
like at least wear a mask.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't even plead ignorance at that point. But by that point, and you know, during all this, we knew how this worked with COVID and how people were actually getting sick through this, and yet no mask, no social distancing, and you know. The man died. And I do think that some of the jokes have gone too far on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's one thing to talk about the Twitter account still tweeting after his death, but when he did die, people were just – and this has been sort of a bigger issue with COVID and people dying, especially the people that have come out publicly and said they don't believe in COVID and they end up dying. Like, they're still dead, guys. Like, I get you trying to make a point about, ha-ha.
Right.
They should have listened, but look, they died. You know, it's like at some point you just gotta let it go, and you know, you feel for the families that are impacted by this. So, yeah, I'll be glad once that part of COVID has moved on, is the you know the public shaming and berating of people that. At one point might have not, you know, believed what was going on. And then, you know, and at the end of it, they died. So it's like, all right, look.
Yeah. It's like they got the point. Right. Yes. Like you ain't got to dunk on them after the fact.
Yeah. It's a lot of dunking going on.
Yeah. Like, so it's crazy, Marcus, because I do feel like I think I feel more positive now about what's going to happen in November. Just cause I feel like Trump is pissing too many people off on the way out. Like when you got the post office mad at you now, fam.
Yeah.
Like you got old people that depend on their medications and stuff. Like yeah, you making too many enemies right now, brother.
I mean, the post office, the double digit unemployment rate.
Yep.
The 170,000 people that have died. You know,
has the stock market recovered yet?
It has. Black people in general.
I mean, look, I wouldn't know because I sold all my shares of the WWE a few months ago.
I sold. What did I sell? I think it might have been around WrestleMania. I took a loss, but. It has not bounced back since then, so I don't feel too bad.
Oh, Tracy Ellis Ross. I got the DNC in the background. I didn't know Tracy Ellis Ross was hosting.
Yes, I did notice they have a woman each night that is.
Yeah, because last night it was Eva Longoria.
Okay.
And then tonight is Tracy Ellis Ross. I think they said Kerry Washington is going to be one of the hosts. Now I don't know who, because it's 4 nights or 3 nights?
I think there was 4 hosts, so maybe it's 4 nights.
Okay, so yeah, I don't know who's going to be on the 4th night. But yeah, okay, Tracy Ellis Ross, we see you out here. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, Marcus, because Like, have you even thought about how you're going to vote? Because I've already signed up for my absentee ballot. Like, I did that 3 months ago because I was like, yeah, I don't care if they say it's okay to go back and vote. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I've been absentee for a few years now. So I already got my form in the mail that confirmed everything looked correct. Boom, boom, boom. So I'm all set there.
Mm. Okay, like, because I know there's probably somebody out here that's listening that's just like, when are they going to get to the sports? And I think we found our on-ramp, Marcus, because something that happened last week, I want to say, was LeBron partnering with the Dodgers.
Yes.
And just kind of opening up Dodger Stadium as a poll location. Like, what do you think about that? And, you know, kind of how LeBron continues to use, you know, his influence and his name brand on stuff like this.
I don't remember a time when sports was so intertwined with politics and specifically elections and voting.
Mm.
Even with Obama coming up in 2008 and the re-election in 2012, like, you know, you would see celebrities, you know, do stuff here and there. But, you know, it's not just LeBron. The Atlanta Hawks are making Phillips Arena a polling center.
Yep.
In Atlanta. And I think we're going to see more teams and arenas get involved this fall when it comes to with the election. And I mean, you can sort of read between the lines as to why they're doing this. They're doing this because of Donald Trump. I think if this was any other Republican candidate, I don't think the same energy and resources would be used to sort of help with this push towards Joe Biden. And they can't come out and say, you know, we're doing this because of Joe Biden and trying to get him into office. But come on, let's be real.
So, right. if it was John Kasich, ain't nobody that pressed over John Kasich.
Yeah, no.
So, ain't nobody worried about Mitt Romney like that.
No.
I wonder though, Marcus, you know, being the not only fans of sports, but also wrestling, I wonder if the Amway Center is going to become a polling location, because imagine the marketing possibilities for Vince McMahon. They could come vote in the Thunderdome.
Ooh. Come vote on a live WWE set.
That'd be kind of crazy.
I mean, it would be kind of cool to, you know, I guess if you're that much of a wrestling fan, you want to see how, you know, a TV production set looks in person. But
just have the New Day as like the greeters at the door, because that's something Vince would totally do.
Mm-hmm. No, New Day and why am I drawing a blank?
Titus?
Titus, thank you.
Yeah, that's totally a Titus job.
Oh,
Titus,
man.
Titus would be the official greeter at the Thunderdome polling station.
Yes, man of the year, Titus O'Neil.
Man of the year. Father of the year, wasn't he at one point? Father of the year, Titus O'Neil. So that's kind of what's going on in the arena of sports. But let's get back into the arena of politics, should I say. But let's get back into the arena of sports, and let's get into this bubble, Marcus Vandenberg, because the time for talking and the time for predictions is over. We have officially begun the 2020 NBA playoffs, Marcus. Are you ready for all of this action? Are you ready for all of the drama? You know, TNT knows drama. We got TNT on in the background as Portland takes on Marcus's LA Lakers. Are you ready for all of the excitement that the association is bringing to us, Marcus Vandenberg?
I think so. I mean, it's a lot of basketball, right?
It's a ton of basketball. Like, it's almost like the first weekend of March Madness.
Yeah, this is making up for what we did to get this year.
Yeah. It's like every day from like 1 in the afternoon to about 10, 11 at night, we've got basketball on.
At least through the first round. The next round will have with 8 teams left, so 4 series. So I guess you could do, they're probably 2-2 and have make sure there's basketball every day of the week and not have the off days but no basketball.
Yeah.
So that means you wouldn't have the 1 p.m. start. You'd probably have a, you know, I guess 4 Eastern start and then 4 and 7.
I got to say, Marcus, like, before we get into, like, the individual matchups, I kind of like this format where you've got basketball every day and then, you know, with the individual matchups, you're going just one day in between as opposed to, you know, 2 days in between like normal or sometimes even 3 days in between the games. Like, I feel like it's probably harder on the players, but just from a viewer standpoint, like I'm enjoying the presentation so far.
I think the players would argue it's probably even because the travel's gone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You just got to wake up and roll out of the hotel.
Yeah, so I think in that sense, they probably don't trade one off day for no airplane. I mean, they haven't been on an airplane in weeks now. So,
yeah.
You know, your body gets used to the time zone. You don't have to worry about early wake-up calls or late-night flights. So they're probably enjoying that part of it.
Let's say, it probably, for a lot of them, it probably brings them back to their AAU days.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, you just go into these tournaments and you're just, you know, there for a couple weeks. The only thing is now you're there for a couple months. But, yeah, like, I think, especially for, like, some of the younger guys, this is probably less of an adjustment than we think it is.
Yeah, I think the hardest especially the younger kids who probably don't have wives,
yep,
or kids,
or special friends they can sneak in, like that one Seattle Seahawks player.
Yes, you know, for the veterans like a LeBron, you know, married for years, got kids. Like, I can't imagine what that's like for him. But the good news is families are coming into the bubble after this round, I believe. So.
Okay, so see, let's get into that a little bit, Marcus. Mm-hmm. Like, so after the first round, when we've got the teams eliminated, those teams and the players and everybody associated with that organization, they move out of the bubble, and then the families of the players that are the teams that are still in, they get to move in. Is that how they're doing it?
Sort of, yeah. So.
I guess my question is, like, say I'm Dame Lillard, right? And we know Dame Lillard is on these petty streets. Let's say the Blazers get eliminated by your Lakers, Marcus. If I'm Dame, can I stay in the bubble or do I have to leave? Like, is it loser goes, loser leaves town?
No, you have to go, like, that night. The people, the teams that were eliminated last week, they played their game.
So you got to have your bags packed before the game. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, at least for their regular season, because they knew at that point who was in, who was out.
Yeah.
But, they checked out the hotel. They brought their bags to the arena. They played their game. They took them to a different hotel to shower and stuff, and then straight to the airport. So, they weren't playing. They got them straight out.
It really is like wrestling. Like, so Dame, what you're saying is Dame Lillard can't sneak back in under a mask?
Nope. Once the Blazers are out, he's out. So
that's pretty interesting. And then once they're out, then the families of the remaining teams come in?
Yeah, of the remaining 8, the families will come in. They'll quarantine. Like
2
players
weeks.
Did, and I think they'll be allowed to go to games, I believe. They're not going to be allowed to go to the parks, I don't think, unless they change that policy. But the players haven't been yet, to my knowledge. That part sucks. Especially if you're a kid and, you know, all you hear is Disney World.
Especially if you've never been to Disney.
I know.
And it's like, yeah, you go into Disney, but you can't go to Disney.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
I can see it. It's right there. Like, nah, you can't go. But it's right. It's literally all we got to do is walk over across the street. Mm-hmm. It's right there. No, no.
Yeah. I couldn't last in the bubble being that close and not
so close yet so far. Damn, it's like Moses can't get into the promised land. But yeah, this is really, like, I think a lot of this stuff is interesting, Mark. It's just kind of the logistics of the bubble, but I also think we, like, you have to give a lot of credit to not only the players who, because honestly, I remember when we first talked about the season, right before the season restarted, I would have sworn by now one of these players would have acted a damn fool and messed up and blew up the experiment, you know, J.R. Smith or somebody like that. But you know, credit to the players for following directions for the most part. Credit to the league, you know, for keeping things running. And then, like, again, like Adam Silver, I think continues to show, like, why he is like the go-to commissioner as opposed to somebody like your man Roger Goodell or Rob Manfred.
Mm-hmm. And credit to the NHL as well that is doing a less secure bubble where the players are not confined to one location. And they're spread out between two cities and two different sets of hotels. And they have managed to stay COVID-free as well now for a few weeks. So when you compare and contrast that to what baseball is going through, you can really see the difference between, you know, the three leagues and how much harder it is for baseball.
And again, this is why, like, Marcus, again, I'm not sure we're going to see football in 2020. We know the NFL wants to, but I don't think they're going to be able to do it, Marcus.
I think they're going to do it. I mean, I think it'll be like baseball where you're going to have these isolated outbreaks. They'll have to, you know, shuffle the calendar and they'll find a way to get all 16 games in, whether, you know, that means having an adjusted schedule or, you know, trying to isolate the players that weren't didn't test positive and having them play. But there's too much money on the line. And I think there's going to be a come to Jesus moment with, I think, Cadell, DeMorris, and the players to say, look, I know this is not natural. I know this is not how you guys normally operate.
Mm-hmm.
But there is too much money on the line for you to be fucking around out here and trying to mess up the bag for all of us. We all need to be one unit, get through the season, and go from there. Because if there is no football, that is a huge, huge ramifications from players to TV networks, to front offices, to
local media, economies,
to local economies. I mean, it's going to be, you know, college football is one thing.
Yeah.
And you see that some conferences are, you know, trying to play on, but
we know these Southern conferences, they're like, we going to play football one way or another.
Hey, Roll Tide, September 26th. Let's go.
Everybody but the SEC and the ACC was like, nah, we good. ACC and the SEC sitting out on the front porch with a couple beers, like, God put us here to play football, and that's what we're going to do.
Hey, you know.
Hey, look, I can't say nothing, Marcus. Like, I'm right in the middle of ACC country, so.
Pac-12 was like, nah, we're good. We're good.
Right, yeah, Pac-12 was like, nah, we cool. Big 10. Like, nah, we good. Yeah. I think, well, that's the thing, Marcus, that, again, that gives me pause about the NFL. Like, obviously, they're going to go forward with it. But unless you can figure out some type of way to, I guess, wall off your players from the general population, I don't know if it's going to be a sustainable thing, right? Like, because that's what you said, like with the, you know, hockey and then the NBA, like with the bubble system, you're able to inoculate your players from everybody else around them. Like, the fact that the NBA is able to do this in the middle of Florida is remarkable. Whereas, like, when you got these NFL teams traveling from Arizona to Texas to, you know, California to New York, so it's like, it's a lot of moving pieces, man. Like, I agree. They're going to do it. I just don't know how well it's going to get done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm less worried about the chartered flights and more worried about people sneaking out of hotel rooms. And, you know, that's where – and I know there was some discussion about traveling on game day. If there's a there's a game that's close by to your home base, you know, flying Sunday morning instead of Saturday night and you know, spending the night. But
right.
That's where I think it's the length. And that's what you saw with baseball with the Marlins in particular. You know, that was rumored to be because guys were out doing things they shouldn't have been doing. You saw the two Indians pitchers that stuck out and, you know, they didn't get coronavirus, but they definitely did not make any friends with the rest of the locker room. And I think that's what it comes down to. It's going to take someone from the locker room to keep the team in charge, whether it be a veteran, a coach. But I think that that's going to be – there's going to be zero tolerance for people pulling that stuff. And if it's someone who's not an established star, like, people will get cut for this. Like, no questions asked. Don't let you be like a second string running back sneaking out. And, nah, you get cut, man.
Special team out here.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing, Marcus. Like, there's a lot of different topics to touch on. So I think what I do is because I feel like there's still a lot of this corona pie to get through. So let's push the NBA talk even back further. And let's stay here in Coronaville for a little bit, Marcus. Because, you know, you brought up college football. And in particular, you know, our brothers in the ACC and the SEC. Like, what do you think is going to be the end game, going to be the final outcome for football, particularly, you know, when you talk about these SEC places, you know, in Alabama and Florida and Georgia, the ACC and the Virginia, North Carolina, like, do you think they'll be able to pull something off, or, you know, will they lose out on that money? Because that's a lot of money.
I think they're going to pull it off somehow. And we've already seen with the Big Ten that there's a petition now to from players who want to play and parents who want their kids to play. So I think I do wish that everyone was on the same page and would just agree, you know, let's do 10 games. Let's maybe start October 1st. Let's cut down some of the bowl games and let's try to figure this out as a one unit compared to, you know, we're playing fall football. No, we're going to play spring football. You know, the teams that are playing spring football, what happens in the fall? Are they at a competitive disadvantage because they're playing basically meaningless games that don't count? Because it sounds like the college football playoff is going with the fall conference and they're still preparing for a championship game and the winner. So I don't think we're done seeing changes and conferences deciding to play or not to play, but considering it's August 18th and most teams are now starting late September, we're at the point where we gotta figure something out here.
Yeah, and it's not gonna be an easy decision. And I think, like you said earlier about players in the locker room needing to have that leadership, I think these college football conferences need to have that leadership as well, because it feels like to me, Marcus, everybody is kind of waiting for the first person to make that first move. And once, like, was it the MAC that was the first ones to cancel, call off the season? It was the MAC, and then Pac-12 hopped in.
Yeah.
And then the Big Ten finally. But I feel like
Mountain West in there too.
Mountain West, yeah. I feel like they've got to, like, somebody's got to step in and be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to move ahead with the season, but we're going to take as many precautions as we can for the players, this and that. Like, somebody's got to step up and be a leader here. And I don't see a lot of leadership, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge flaw with the NCAA when it comes to
it almost feels like the players are taking the lead on this more so than the grownups in the room.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, that's not ideal.
No, especially your man Trevor Lawrence out here, sunshine leading the revolution. Like, follow me, brothers.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with college football and the NFL. Let's hit on baseball real quick before we get back to the NBA markets, because the last time we talked, like, it felt like the world was crumbling around this baseball season. It feels like things have kind of leveled off a bit. But what's your take on the state of the MLB season since the last time we spoke?
Well, things are back to normal because we're now upset about the unwritten rules of baseball. So.
like really, this what we mad about in the middle of this pandemic? We mad about this brother hitting a home run, taking an extra swing on a 3-0 count? That's what we mad about right now?
Yeah, I know most of the unwritten rules. I've never heard of that one before.
Yeah, like even like Johnny Bench, I think something like a couple of the old timers came out and it was like, man, like, nah, like, well, what do you want this man to do? Like, take the pitch and then hit a home run on the next one, because you're still going to be mad at it.
Now, I did hear a stat today that this was the first time in 25 years where someone up, I think, 6 runs in the 7th inning or later with the bases loaded and a 3-0 count swung 3-0. Now, why that stat is even being tracked, I don't know, but
yeah,
it sounds like this is not a everyday situation, but more power to Tatis for hitting that out.
Yeah, I mean, look, you play for the Padres, man. Like, when the last time the Padres had somebody to be excited about? And, like, by all accounts, this dude is a young stud. And who's the manager, Marcus? Because I was like, why are you throwing this kid under the bus?
Jace Tingler.
Like, Marcus Vandenberg, I've never heard of this man in my whole entire life. Like, who is this man? Where did they find this brother?
He is not a former player. He was I think a bench coach or something. He was first year in San Diego.
Okay, because I don't know why, Marcus, but I think I was shocked. I was like, who is this guy? Like, is because I thought he was like the, you know, hitting coach or something, and then I found out like he was the actual manager of the team. I was like, really? Like, nah, like you just got here, man, because I ain't never heard of you, brother, and you got the nerve to speak down about this man. So, like, I feel like they should be trying to make baseball as entertaining as possible right now, Marcus, mm-hmm. considering the circumstances that we're in. And so, yeah, like, let this man go out there and swing. Like I don't care, you know, if it was outside of the strike zone, if it was, you know, 3-0 and then, you know, he switches, goes to the other side of the plate to hit. Let this man have some fun. Like, why are you trying to enforce these rules that not a lot of us are familiar with in the middle of all this? Especially, like, it'd be one thing, Marcus, if this were somebody with some gravitas, like somebody with some credentials. Like, you just got here, man. Like, you so new, they ain't even got you in a video game yet.
And on top of that, he's 39. He's not even, you know, an old curmudgeon. He's 2 years younger, 2 years older than me.
Like, you're not Brian McCann.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that was crazy. And the fact, I like the fact though that it sounds like the players have this guy's back as opposed to the manager.
Oh, I mean, he's Yeah, he's amazing. Tatis is amazing.
Because he's going to be around there. Like, I don't even know the coaching expertise of this particular brother Marcus, but just spitballing here, like, I would imagine Tatis is going to be with that organization a lot longer than this gentleman.
Yes, he will.
And who might not make it out of this season.
No, he will. But what was I going to say?
That's why I can't be a professional sports owner, Marcus, because I would have fired that man right there on the spot. Like, nah, you got to go, man. Like, I can find more use. I can't find another one of him.
Exactly. Well, he did backpedal, and, you know, the next day, like, well, you know, I talked with Fernando for 20 minutes, and, you know, I was wrong, and, you know, this sport, listen, the fact is, if Mike Trout hit the Grand Slam, I would find it hard to believe that not only the opposing manager, but Mike Trout's own manager, Joe Maddon, would come out and go after Trout for hitting a Grand Slam when, you know, some of these weird baseball games this season, like a 6-run lead is not impossible.
Right. Yep.
You know, teams have blown 6-run leads this season. So what are you supposed to do? Like, bunt? Not swing? And, you know, I'm glad he ignored the tape sign at 3-0. Like, if you're throwing a fastball down the middle, swing the bat. That's why they signed you.
Right, like don't get mad at me because I'm doing my job. That's what you pay me for.
Throw better pitches.
Yeah, and look, this could have been like you said, Marcus. Like, the way these games have been in the bubble, there's no guarantee that lead would have been safe.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make any sense. Again, it's something that actually, funny enough, Marcus, Chris and I talked about on a Real Power Dynamics, because he was like, you know, does baseball have a culture problem? And then I was like, you know, baseball, like, the way they police, quote unquote, like the Latin players, the way that I feel like youth are disconnected from the game as opposed to how it was when you and I were growing up and we loved baseball. Mm-hmm. The way that, like, the black player, let alone the black fan, but the black player seems to be something that's on the decline in the sport. And it's just like, particularly, you know, this week being the anniversary of the Negro Leagues. Yep. It's like baseball should be doing so much more. I don't know what they need to do, Marcus, but they need to be doing more of whatever it is they need to do to kind of fix these issues, I think.
I mean, it's a variety of things. It's going to take more black and Latin players to become managers.
And, yep.
Sort of.
Who do we have right now? We got Dusty.
Dusty, Dave Roberts.
Dave, yeah.
I think Rick Renteria is still managing somewhere.
Okay.
White Sox, maybe. That's three. And that might be it. It might just be three.
Wow. That's crazy.
Let me see. I don't want to slander baseball. Let me.
Yeah, because your man Beltran had the New York job, but then lost that.
Yeah. What a mess. Dave Martinez, that's four.
Okay.
Luis Rojas, that's five.
Okay.
Charlie Montoya. How did I forget Charlie? Charlie Montoya in Toronto, six. All right, six. Six out of 30.
Okay. It's better. It's better, Marcus. It could be much better, but that's better than three, at least.
Yeah, and two are black, and Roberts and Baker.
Yeah. But do they still have the RBI program?
Yep, they do.
Cause I remember that coming up, but yeah, it feels like, Yeah, like they're losing on three fronts, like the in terms of like the Latino players, the black players and fans, and then just young people in general aren't down for baseball like they were, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
I mean, it's kind of like wrestling.
Interesting.
Wrestling, the young audience is not there. It's still drawing from a 50-plus crowd. You could argue, if, I think that they're touting 21% African-American fan base for WWE. I would say maybe a little lower than that, but they know the numbers. I don't. So, yeah, I think that there's some parallels there. And ratings are similar, both declining.
Which is crazy because they had the opportunity, Marcus. They had the opportunity to kind of jump out before anybody.
Yeah.
And take advantage of people's hunger for sports, and they weren't able to do it. So.
Yeah, but.
So Marcus is advocating for Vince McMahon to be the new commissioner of baseball is what I'm hearing.
I mean, if it takes him away from his day job, then.
And then we'll switch jobs. It'll be like a wife swap. Like Rob Manfred comes to the WWE and Vince goes to Major League Baseball.
That'd be funny.
All right, so let's get back to the NBA, Marcus, where we started this journey today, because the 2020 NBA playoffs, so playoffs like no other, have kicked off, have begun, Marcus, and as we speak currently. The number one seed in the West, the L.A. Lakers, Marcus Vandenberg's L.A. Lakers, are losing. They're trailing the Portland Trail Blazers. So let's start here, Marcus. A lot was made of kind of the Lakers not being able to get into that next gear during the restart season. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that has a hangover effect here for this first round matchup against Portland?
It might in this first game for sure, based on you know how they started. Anthony Davis is 1-for-8, and
what's going on with Anthony? Because like it feels like he hadn't like because you can tell like LeBron out here trying. LeBron is out here trying, but it feels like AD is not quite in gear yet, and also like the shooters around him aren't really clicking in.
Yeah, Danny Green's been pretty bad. AD had two games where he was held under 10 points during the restart, which, you know, not great. But he also had that game where he had 42 against Utah. So
yeah,
the consistency isn't there. Green's been bad. They're still without Rondo. Bradley opted out. So
yep,
they're trying to figure out, I think, still who they are as a team moving forward. But they might want to figure it out in game one because they're not off to a great start.
Yeah, every time they cut to LeBron during one of these breaks, he reminds me of David Ruffin from the Temptations movie. Like he just looking around at AD and Danny Green and J.R. Smith, like ain't nobody come to see you, Otis.
Yeah.
but I do think the Lakers are going to win the series. But they cannot afford to let Portland hang around. Cause again, Marcus, you know, like you were saying with baseball, stranger things have happened just because of the weirdness of the season. Like anything can happen in this bubble, and all it takes is, you know, you mess around and give away a game that you should have won. And, you know, it comes down to a game seven, you know what I mean?
And we saw with Milwaukee anybody. Today.
Yeah.
The Bucks got upset by the Magic, and
which I don't believe. Like, look, they're playing. They're trying to bring a championship back home to the Thunderdome.
What a story! The Orlando team at Disney World wins the title.
That would be crazy.
That's what dreams are made of.
So the other matchups in the West markets, we got Houston, who has a 1-0 lead on Oklahoma City. We got Denver, who's up 1-0 on Utah. And let's talk about this Clippers game, Marcus Vandenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers, who snatched victory from the jaws of defeat with the help of maybe some officials, possibly, perhaps, have a 1-0 lead on the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, Kristaps Strat tossed in the third quarter. And I thought, I mean, was he out of line? Yeah, he was. And if he didn't have the first tee, he would have definitely got that tee in the third quarter. So I'm not a big fan of, you know, because you have one tee, you now have more leeway to act a fool. It should be pretty even. So I was not as upset as Twitter was when Kristaps got tossed for that.
Yeah, I felt like the...
That should be in the player. The player should be more aware of, I have one tech. I can't hurt my team by...
I was going to say, like, my issue is less with the text than it is with the calls that preceded the text. Because I think the call, like, especially that last one, I think that was a bad call. And so it's like, I get why your man Zingas was out here feeling some type of way, but you're right. Like, he does have to control himself. But I feel like that's one of them situations where the ref could have been like, hey, I messed up on the call. You messed up on your reaction. We're going to let this one slide. And then, but this is your last opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they should have let that one, you know, charge it to the game. But speaking of the game, like, that was a big moment because, you know, I feel like Dallas is a team on the come up, Marcus. Like, they've got something there that, you know, not this year, but I think definitely, you know, within the next two or three seasons between Zingas and, you know, your man Doncic, like, that's a problem.
Lucas 21. You got to remember that the things he's doing, it might appear that he's older, but this is only season two, Luca.
Second best young guard in the NBA.
Behind Trae Young. We know.
You know. Game recognized game. I feel like that's a team that's going to be a problem. So, like, if you're the Lakers or the Clippers, like, you got to get to a chip this year or next year, because I feel like the Mavericks are setting up for a nice little run. In particular, like, they're doing it differently, Marcus. Like, and this is why I feel like Dirk deserves a little bit more credit than he gets for being a great player, because he fundamentally changed, like, the blueprint for the Mavericks, in that now they're seen as this attractive place for these young European players that probably came up watching Dirk. Mm-hmm. So you got Luka, you got Porzingis, you got, like, there's a couple other European dudes on the squad. So I feel like this is a good situation that they can keep building on. And as much as I hate them, because, like, I hate, like, playing NBA 2K20. Every time I meet up with the Mavericks in the playoffs, like, Luka is a problem and Zingas is a problem. So, but I feel like this is a team that could do some damage over the next five seasons.
Yeah, they're still one free agent away from being a real threat. And the free agent crop this offseason isn't great. So I'm not sure if that person will be available for them this offseason, but maybe in next year that they'll find someone. Next year's class is a little better than this year.
I really hope, like, we get, you know, you talk about Trae. I hope we, like, Dallas and Atlanta, I hope that becomes a rivalry. Like, Lakers-Celtics back in the day with Magic and Larry.
Well, when Trae comes to L.A., because he's a clutch guy now, you know.
Oh, damn, that's right. Like, damn it, LeBron.
Atlanta's on the clock, man. Atlanta has two more years to figure this out with Trae Young.
Ooh, that's a problem. Like, if you got, like, old man on his last legs, LeBron, you got AD, who I guess would still be in his prime, and Trae. That's a problem.
I don't think I can afford all three, but.
You know, look, LeBron would take a hometown discount.
To do after Cleveland?
he'll let the Lakers, he'll give the Lakers a little bit of a bargain so he can get another chip. But yeah, let's go to the East real quick, Marcus. Because we have, like you said, Milwaukee, they're down 0-1 to the Orlando Magic Indiana, who is down 1-0 to Miami. Boston and Philly. Boston's up 1-0 in that series. And then Toronto. Marcus Vandenberg's reigning defending Toronto Raptors up on the Brooklyn Nets, in quotations, because I don't know half of them dudes out there in them Brooklyn uniforms, Marcus.
Yeah. You know Jared Allen. You know Joe Harris.
Yeah, good old Joe Harris from the University of Virginia. We see you, Joe. Mm-hmm. So any predictions on the East, Marcus? Like, do you feel like Orlando could even come close to making this series interesting, or was that just an anomaly inside this bubble?
Nah, I think it's – I mean, the Raptors are used to losing game ones. That's usually their gimmick. And they even lost last year game one and then won four straight. So I say Bucks in five, Raptors in four. What other series am I missing? Indiana and
– The Celtics or –
Oh, yeah, Celtics-Philly. Well, Hayward's out.
Yeah, Hayward's out. Yeah.
But Simmons is out. I think the Celtics still win somehow. Obviously, Celtics in six.
Okay. Well, here's another question then, piggybacking off of that, Marcus. Mm-hmm. Do the Sixers run it back one more year, or do they – let's say they get bounced in this first round. Do they have some serious decisions to make in the offseason?
No, I think they run it back one more time.
Yeah, I would agree, especially because I feel like if they had a healthy Ben Simmons, like this wouldn't even be close, particularly with Hayward being out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would run it back one more year. But it's interesting because I feel like the East is wide open, but there's also only two or three teams I can reasonably see making the finals at the same time.
The Raptors and who else?
The Raptors, the Bucks, and then I'm gonna say it, Marcus. It might sound a little crazy, but I kind of think the Pacers might be working with something.
Hmm. Oladipo's banged up. There's no Sabonis.
Like, I know they're down, but I feel like your man TJ, the second best TJ we know. Like, I feel like he might be that secret sauce.
Well, if Oladipo can't play on Thursday, they're in trouble. So
yeah. But I would agree, Marcus. Like, I'm thinking Bucks still make it out of the East. In the West, are you sticking with your Lakers, or are you going somewhere else?
No, I'm sticking with the Lakers.
I think so too. But they're gonna. They're gonna have to tighten it up, Marcus, because this Lakers team that I've been seeing this game tonight, like that's not it.
I think they'll be fine. I mean, Portland's defense is not great, so I think
if they get by Portland, let's see who in the second round they'd be playing.
Houston or Oklahoma City.
Houston or OKC. Honestly, I think those might be easier matchups for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Than Portland, just because I feel like Dame shouldn't be an eight seed. Like, they're only an eight seed just due to just kind of what happened during the regular season. But like, they're like really a five seed, maybe, Marcus, just kind of masquerading as an eight seed.
I mean, they were in the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah.
But that time, they were pretty bad. I mean, even with the injuries, like, they just defensively, I think that's where it'll come down to. When you're giving up 116 points a night,
you're sleeping on that defense of that man, Skinny Melo.
Okay. Yeah.
Skinny Melo got that lockdown defense, Marcus.
Yes. Known defender, Carmelo Anthony.
Stalwart defensive option, Carmelo Anthony. But yeah, that's our thoughts on the NBA playoffs. I think this is going to be fun though, Marcus. Like I said off the top, like, it's not what we're used to from our NBA postseason, but all things considered, I feel like they pulled it off as best as they could.
Yeah.
And, so we'll see.
We'll check in next week, Jermaine, because I know you're going to ask.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Your man Jermaine. I wonder if, like, Marcus, like, how much does it cost to be, like, in the crowd? Like, is that something you got to pay for?
No, it's free.
Oh, because I'm saying, like, we should get in the crowd in one of these games. What do you got to do?
I just have to sign up to the team.
Oh, so each team has their own fans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because I heard Stu Gatz talking about it on the Levitard show. Showing up for the Heat.
Mm.
But yeah, the Kings of Sport have to be in the arena. But yeah, that's going to do it for this week, Marcus. I'm looking forward to next week because you know we'll talk about some of these matchups and then see if any losers have left town by then.
Yes.
So before
Magic Kingdom.
Yes, leave. And so yeah, like they should have a whole ceremony where they just eject the the losing team.
Walk you out.
Yep. Yeah, Mickey, you gotta go. Yeah, you gotta go home, but you gotta get the hell out of here. But Marcus Vandenberg, before we get out of here, let the people know where they can find you on social media and anything that you might have coming up that they might be interested in, but besides your appearance on Real Power Dynamics.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And you can find me on Twitter at N8, MozaiK, at Nate Mosaic. Check out the show on Twitter. Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Patreon, patreon.com/kingsofsport. Facebook, facebook.com/kingsofsport. You can check me out on the Rocky Maivia Picture Show. We just had a new episode drop last week at Post Wrestling where we reviewed the pilot of Ballers. Marcus, were you a big fan of Ballers when it was running?
I liked the first couple of seasons and then it got a little out there. But
I hadn't watched Ballers since it, it's been a minute since I watched Ballers. It's like watching the pilot for the review. I was like, I forgot how much I liked, your man, Ricky Jarrett, John David Washington on that show.
He was good. And Ballers reminds me of Daniel Cormier. And now I'm sad again.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Shout out to DC, who lost to Stipe Miocic over the weekend, and I guess is retired now, Marcus.
This is it. He's I believe him. I think he's done.
Yeah, I mean, like he's already one of the best commentators for the UFC. Like he's that type of person that I feel is always going to be in the good graces of the company because not only was he a big star for them in the octagon, but he's like. If you're talking to somebody who has no idea about UFC or MMA, like you'd rather have that guy than anybody be like the ambassador because he's got a personality that kind of draws in the average fan.
He just seems like a normal, nice guy.
Yep, and he wasn't ashamed of his thickness of being fluffy out there in them rings.
made fun of it, yeah.
Yes, he's like Dustin Rhodes. I might not look like the athlete of the day. so salute to that man DC. That's where you can find me on Twitter. If you're a fan of comic book stuff, DC TV Podcast Network, that's why I do the Black Lightning podcast this weekend, August 22nd, for those listening in real time. We're gonna have a event for the DC fandom where they're coming out with press releases and panels for all the new movies. It's kind of like a virtual Comic-Con almost, Marcus.
Okay.
They're going to be doing it all day Saturday. And so we'll have coverage of that where we're trying to go live on StreamYard. So I'll post the links to that on my Twitter and all that good stuff. So we'll see how that goes. But that's going to do it. Thank you guys and girls for listening. Marcus and I will be back next time with an all new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, for Daniel Cormier, for that man, the legendary defensive stalwart, Carmelo Anthony, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. And remember, in the Thunderdome, two men enter, one man leaves. because you've been down with the Kings. Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network. Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!